Are we ready to walk and wall?
I think we're ready to walk and wall.
Rolling.
My God, there's that theme song again. What does that mean?
It's contagious.
It's contagious. I love it. This is the Jimmy Doan Show. Once again, the Jimmy Doan Show. Here we are in the first week in November. Mm-hmm. We finally got all the old ones up there, right?
Yep.
This is great. Okay, well, good show today. Great show today. We've been getting emails from people saying they love what we do, so today's going to be at least as good as any of the others. Better. Better even. This is Jimmy here at Jimmy Doan, and let's see, today is Thursday.
Yeah.
Sometime in November. What's the third?
Yep. Happy birthday, Gino.
Oh, Gino. Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. That's right. Good. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about Alito. Mm-hmm.
Scalito.
Scalito, right. That's a big deal about that. The shutdown of the Senate maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Hijacked.
Hijacked, that's right. Legal marijuana in Denver.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
You think?
Smile High City.
That's right. Smile High City. And the windfall profits oil tax. My God, we got to take those guys to task, don't we? Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Make profits in America.
God. That's right. No, profits. Ooh, bad. Bad things. Profits bad. Profits bad. Socialism good. Okay. Yeah. Now, on that, in that light, which reminds me, I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But Jimmy may put up an independent kind of show here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Jimmy's thinking. Jimmy actually may find out. Before we get started here, let me just say, Curtis, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. And Eric, engineer.
Hello.
Good to see you. EJ will come in later, right? Let's hope.
Hey, how you doing?
and who else is coming here? Oh, I'm sorry. Herr Himmler, hi, good to see you. Perhaps a German. That reminds me of the Phil Hendry show. You know, he does all his... A lot of people don't understand that he does all the pieces and everything.
Hey, we brought the five brothers that you wanted.
That's right. He's funny. He's a funny guy. He's on the thing now, too. So anyway, of course, I lost my train of thought, as usual. You may see a little mini Jimmy Doan special that I'll do by myself, even though these shows, the only reason...
Thanks a lot, Jim.
That's right. The reason these shows are so good, of course, is because Eric does the mix. And I've learned how to actually call up Cool Edit Pro. And that's about all, though.
No, we're in power.
What I want to do is to take... Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
I'm out of a job.
No, it's not that. No, what will we have loosed on the... Loose the hounds. No, what will we have loosed on the world if Jimmy learns how to do his own mix?
Oh, my...
No. Yes.
Run fast, run far. He's the devil.
Your lives.
So you're going to do a little Jimmy Donut
Well, I thought... Yeah, well, a Jimmy Donut. It'll be a 5 or 10 minute because one of the reasons... Don't like, yeah. So.
Pithy don't like.
A little pithy show.
Yeah, it'll be a short download, maybe 5 minutes. But what I want to do is to get a hold of this guy, Jack Clark from Blast the Right. I think I talked about him before. He's the...
Oh, I heard. Is that the super weenie guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. Okay, he's up in, I guess, I don't know where he's broadcasting from, but he has a half-hour show once a week.
You're going to MST3K?
Oh,
show?
You bet. I mean, I've cut out about 20 clips, and of course, the guys. So, anyway, for those of you listening now, you might want to go over and listen to a show just for laughs. He's a hoot. They're all archived.
JackClark.com?
No, it's Blast the Right and Radical something. I forget. Radical Revolutionary or something.
No, it's Radical Rational.
Radical Rational, right. Which, is, of course, is oxymoron, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, rational, of course,
yeah,
is, you know.
Like military intelligence.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, we want to talk a little bit today about Alito or the shutting down of the Senate. Alito.
Sure.
We haven't talked. We did talk last time. We did put the show up about the Supreme Court, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay, that show is up now, and that's a long show, but it's all one show.
Yep.
Right.
And that's one for that's timeless.
Right.
Because we talked about a bunch of the court cases with our erstwhile legal advisor here, Curtis. Yeah. About court cases that need to be overturned, and this is going to go into Alito, and that is one to be saved for future generations. I don't think we dated that one.
Yeah,
not that it matters. Okay, but we talked about that, and also that needs to be done. That was done, and also in I think the show before that, we chatted briefly about the windfall profits,
right?
And that is an economic, a little bit of an economic.
We were ahead of the curve.
We were way ahead of the curve on that. Yeah. I noticed that Alan Reynolds, who's a Cato Institute kind of guy, and a lot of these people have written on this, and of course they've come out. Some of the socialists have come out of the woodwork, including Bill O'Reilly, who said, let's give back. And I'm going, Bill O'Reilly reminds me a little bit of Savage, who are, these guys are not really conservatives. I mean, they're
no.
they're like little fascists.
They have
people.
A little Nazi.
They have a little Nazi in them. Yeah, yes, yes. We will do it my way. You're all free to do it, but you'll do it my way. But it's free to do it my way. No, that's right. And I've seen a little too much of that in some of these people that they. And well, it's interesting because they said on when they're talking about the windfall profits, they said the headline in today's paper. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal. Was Democrats, Dems, you know, decry windfall profits, they want to pass a new tax and so forth. And one of the Democrats, quote unquote, was Grassley of Iowa, who's a Republican. I thought it was funny that he that's his true colors. I mean, he really is. I mean, he's what they call a rhino, along with Chafee and what's her name, Olympia Snow in Maine and Chafee of Vermont. They're not really Republicans. They're Democrats. They get elected. Well, we have a local guy here that does that too. Dr. Bob, who is actually who claims he gets elected because he's a Republican because they got the Republicans here have nobody else to go to. But he's really a Democrat. So
these people are ready to give away the profits, huh?
Yeah, give it. Well, as we talked about last time, and you might want to download that show. But let me just to recap. What these people want to do, they say that they're making, what, $90 billion, and the profits have doubled into the multi-billions of dollars. And, of course, one of the reasons they've doubled is because the oil prices went up and gasoline prices went up and so forth. And what happened was that, obviously, these people, first of all, we had the hurricanes, which restricted the supply somewhat, so, you know, supply and demand. But also, these guys had bought, as you know, as oil prices increased day to day. You buy oil every day, and of course you stockpile. So obviously, if you got oil from 6 months ago, you paid less for it. But of course, you're going to sell it at today's price, hello, because you're going to have to replace it at today's price. So at least for the while, you're going to make some extraordinary profits based on that difference. Now, of course, what they don't tell you is it works the other way around. And that is, when you're buying oil, and let's say, and as the price has gone down, $10 or something like that, it's gone down, and they are now refining oil that they bought at $70 a barrel, and they're able to, and they're going to know they're going to replace it at $60. But I mean, that's oil that they paid $70 for. Mm-hmm. So the point is that they're losing money on this end, and it's an up and down thing. It's so interesting that these guys in Congress who should know better, except that I guess the requirements for being elected a member of Congress are zero. I mean, you can be nothing. I mean, you have to be alive. You have to be sentient, more or less sentient. And that's it. No decrees necessary, nothing. You don't have to have any. You can be a convicted felon in jail and a congenital idiot. But I repeat myself, actually. I'm sorry. I don't mean to repeat myself. No, and still be elected to Congress. But it is amazing that either they're so stupid that they don't have any economics knowledge at all, or, as I suspect, what they do is they do this only for political gain, just to rile up, you know, put the stick in the hornet's
nest. No, I think they genuinely accept the Keynesian theory behind that, which is...
Theory, of course, is I think you've elevated something when you call it a theory. I mean, it's a mythology is what it boils down to.
It should be the
it is
Keynesian,
a mythology.
Yeah,
the Keynesian mythology.
The Keynesian mythology. I mean, really, it is just so... It's the flat earth. I mean,
that's an economics... mythology for those of you
well, I think the Democrats are very much of the mind that they can control the free market just by passing a law.
Right.
Well,
you can Canutism.
You can affect one portion of it without having any significant effects on the entire rest of the system.
It's interesting. It's fascinating that you bring that up because one of the, which as must reading for everybody, is Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. And he mentions exactly this. The lesson in Economics in One Lesson is that you have to look at both sides of the equation. You learn this in algebra in day one. Both sides, they have to balance. You have to look at both sides. You can't just look at the profit. You have to, when you do something, you have to say, oh, yes, I'm going to affect the farmers by giving them a subsidy, but what else is going to happen? And that's what people never do. They don't look at the other side. Where is the money coming from? Where is it going? How's it going to? And of course, with economics, as you know, 280 million people here in the United States, not billion, you don't know. You know, that's one of the reasons that the great law of unintended consequences always gets passed. Because you can't know how it's going. It's the Heisenberg uncertainty. When you pass something like this, it affects it affects the behavior in the future. You think you're going to affect it, and this is the arrogance of these people. They say, well, I'm going to give a subsidy for corn, or I'm going to put a tariff here, and they don't look at any of the short, forget the long term.
And then not only that, but that entire thing is separate from the idea that where do they get off taking these people's private property?
That and then you've hit the nail on the head. That you have hit the nail on the head.
Even if you could prove mathematically with Keynesian mythology that this was going to help society as a whole,
you still don't have a right to do it.
There's no way. You can't. You just. Right. It's an inviolable. No,
that's ipso facto. You're in the wrongo.
That's right. No, you. And I think that's. This is where these people live for the moment. They think they're going to. I guess they. They want to ride in the parade and wave to people and have people bow and scrape and say, you did this for me.
Yeah, you took the money from that rich people who didn't really need it anyway, who got there based on some sort of gift from society or something.
Yeah, they stole it. Or they stole it. Yeah, like Bill Gates stole the money, you know. I mean,
right.
You know, the only people that can steal money are people that have a gun. I mean, when it comes down to it.
Whenever they talk about, I heard somebody decry Walmart the other day as a big corporation. Of course, if you know the history of Walmart, it was Sam Wall started with one store.
Right.
And he simply just made a good profit with that one, so he opened a second store. And he made another profit with that one, and he opened a third store.
Right.
And now it's a multinational, huge, giant corporation or whatever, but it all's based out of one simple voluntary exchange over the counter.
Right. And so just by virtue of doing the same thing he did 40, 50 years ago, this is a bad thing.
We should go back in time and kill him.
That's right. A little Back to the Future?
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Hit the back in time machininator.
Right. That's right. Yeah, let's not even start Walmart. Let's keep all those mom and pop stores for the United States.
Right.
And we could go back. Maybe we could get rid of the interstate highway system and...
Right.
Okay. Well, we could, if we kill off enough grandparents, we would get the population down here to nothing.
Right. Right.
Just us. We have to make sure we don't hit ours.
Right.
The 6 degrees of separation. We got a little problem there. We have to be very careful.
Careful. You know?
Don't get ourselves in that one.
Yeah, we'll do some research.
Yeah, that's right. A little Google that one. Yeah. That's right. No, but you're right. The thing is that somehow these guys think that it's their property. And, of course, the fact is that the money that they spend up there is my property. That is mine. I earned that. And they've decided to take it, and by the grace of God, they're going to build that bridge. They're going to build that bridge in Alaska.
Yeah.
Senator, what's her name? Murkowski, whatever she is, from Alaska. She wrote it. She had a letter today in the Wall Street Journal, a very lengthy letter about how this bridge was justified. I had to laugh.
You should have scanned that and sent it to us.
Oh, my God. It's hysterical because it was a long letter, and it was, you know, it'll benefit the entire known universe.
Right.
You know,
the
ramifications reach to Pluto, and why it's so... I mean, you jerk.
This is the bridge that the Eskimos will use to cross the Straits of...
Bering Straits. That's right. We're going to go back and forth. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, $200 million, $250 million. And she's, you know, this is worth, you know, screw those people in New Orleans. Screw them. You know, our bridge is more important than that. Long term. Oh, my God. Well, that's, of course, she gets elected to do that. I mean, you can.
Well, they've got to back up to the point of where they're not giving away money out of the general pool for the quote unquote general welfare. Just dishing
everything
out
is for the general welfare. We always know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. They do that here locally all the time. Anyway, let's move on. I think we beat the oil profits to death because, as I say, we were ahead of the curve.
Yep.
Well, and also, you know, their profits only doubled. And then I think you brought up a good point before the show that some people in the housing industry, you know, their profits went up 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Oh, think about the people in, I think it's San Diego. The median price of a house, 3 or 4 years ago was like $180,000.
Right.
Today it's $650,000 something. So, I mean, here's all these people that are – and the only way you can find out what the median price is, of course, is somebody sold it.
That's right.
So here's a guy that – but let's assume that he paid cash for the house, $150,000, and got cash back out of the house. So he got to make $400,000, made a – you know
– windfall profit.
200%, 300%. You know, why don't they and of course, what happens is it turns out, interestingly enough, over about $500,000 or something, it's a freebie.
Right.
I mean, you're allowed to do that anyway.
Right.
You know tax on it.
Right.
So,
send them a Katrina bill.
Yeah, send them a Katrina bill.
Yeah,
but you look at all the people that made the windfall profits, and of course, when you talk about the oil companies, you look at the people like the airlines industry who, because of the increase in oil prices,
lost a lot of money.
Yeah, now, why would they pick on the oil company just out of the blue?
Because of the dollar amount involved. That's all it is.
It's just in other words,
if you make 10,000,000% profit on a penny, they don't care. If you make 40% on $50 billion, then they care because it's real money. You know, a billion here and a billion there, it adds up to money.
Yeah.
And so it, they, yeah, I mean, after a while, it's some real dough.
After some compounding over time.
That's right. So that's it, it's the money. It's the quantity of money. And
somehow they've attached it to Katrina as if it was the gas company's fault that the people didn't get out of New Orleans or something. I mean, some kind of wrapped in there thing.
It
benefited because the platforms got wiped.
Like that's a benefit. Okay, my platform blew down. Good news, folks.
We lost a $2 billion platform.
Good news. Our refinery on the shore was blown down. Good news.
And everybody probably just bought all a bunch of oil futures right then, which drove up
certainly
the price.
A lot of people did. It drove up when you buy oil. Right, exactly. If you buy the oil futures, it tends to oil futures.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying directly, but of course, everybody was quote unquote worried about oil. So therefore, the oil company, if I was a rich oil executive right then, I'd have said, raise prices. Everybody thinks they're going up anyway.
Yeah. If you're going to get blamed for something, you might as well do it.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, they're so short-sighted to look at this stuff, it's demagoguery. That's all they care. When all is said and done, it's about staying elected. It's about preserving my $165,000 a year.
At the cost of anybody that gets in
that's
my
right.
way.
Anybody. It doesn't that's matter. Right. It doesn't matter. Death. Doesn't matter. Destruction.
No.
No, I'll use Terri Schiavo. No, right. No problem. She died for a good cause because she kept me in office.
That's right.
That's it. Doesn't matter. Yep. I would have killed her to stay in office.
No, and they probably would have.
That's right. That's exactly right. Of course, they'll take anybody's money and do anything and say anything to stay in office.
That's exactly true. If you don't know that, you are in the dark.
That's right. That's why politicians, that's one of the reasons that we, you know, when they talk about politicians lying, I mean, it's automatic. There's no such, the word politician and truth are never in the same sentence.
No.
You do a LexisNexis search on that, you come with zero.
Right.
So anyway, we've done that. And so, as I say, we are way ahead of the curve on that. And people need to probably, relive that show. And you can read out the Alan Reynolds column, which was a good explanation of this sort of thing. He's an economist, let's say, from Cato. So anyway, now we want to go on to Alito.
Alito's been nominated. Myers is out of there.
Myers is out.
You're out of there.
Good riddance, I think. That's right. Good. We got rid of her, I said. But it looks like they're going to have the Democrats are just panic stricken about this guy Alito.
Oh well.
Well, it's interesting because this revolves about one case, and you'd think the Supreme Court was deciding one case and one case.
And
only.
You'd think it was a pending case right now.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Not only would you think it was the only case that mattered for the next 40 years. But it's the only pending that it was actually pending.
Well, the Dems are terrified that the Republicans have got half a dozen of these cases sitting around and waiting, all prepped and ready to be appealed,
right?
If just in case they get their men up there,
and they might. He's gonna make it.
That's not what I mean. I mean they might get their case appealed up there that way. That is to say, probably there's a state legislature somewhere ready to pass a law regulating abortion. And then they've got their team of lawyers ready to defend whoever it is, or ready to defend the law whenever somebody challenges it.
Right. Exactly right. So and of course the idea, remember now, that not to get too convoluted, what Roe v. Wade says, it says basically that the states couldn't do that.
Right.
And if that gets overturned, it just simply means that the states can do that.
Right. Which means they still have to wait for the states to do that stuff.
Right. Exactly right. And of course, as it turns out, maybe two or three of the states or something might do that.
Sure.
And so what?
Right.
That's my point. So what? So you have to – you drive from Alabama to Mississippi or vice versa.
Right. And Scalito
Scalito.
Yeah, they call it.
Oh, my God. Now, it seems to me that – is that derogatory? Is that a –
No,
that
that's a compliment.
Is that a compliment?
Scalia-lite, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. But I think that that's a good thing.
That's
huh?
a compliment.
Okay.
Scalia is generally regarded as one of the keener minds on the Supreme Court.
Right.
His decisions are quite well thought out.
With
it's easy
exception.
To follow them. Yeah, yeah. The Raich case.
Yeah.
And generally, he does a good job. So people respect him. And to call him a copy of that guy, that's a good thing.
Okay.
And he is a conservative. He does hold views like that. For example, one of the views that he's written on is the KCV Planned Parenthood case, which was a case which basically a state passed a law which limited a woman's ability to have an abortion in certain ways. And
was this kind of notification thing or what?
That's what
a rat on a string.
The way that the woman could still get the abortion. What Alito spoke out against was the idea that the woman had to notify her husband. That is to say, he supported the idea that the woman had to notify her husband.
I'm at Dr. Nick's right now, and I have an abortion.
Hey, baby, could you have me that coat hanger?
Hey, Dr. Nick, hello.
Hi, everybody.
This will make the operation like a nice, pleasant dream.
He sticks himself.
Yeah.
So that was a dissent, though, wasn't it?
That's correct.
So in other words, he was basically overruled.
Well,
so to speak. Not overruled. But, I
mean, yeah, that portion of the law was not allowed to stand.
Right.
He dissented in part as to that portion of the law, saying that the woman, it is reasonable to require a woman to notify her husband when having an abortion.
Now, we talked a little bit about this in our Supreme Court case thing, too, because you and I were on slightly different sides on that, I think.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, in this one, it seems to me like the woman has a right to medical procedures, and to require her to tell somebody is kind of odd. It's a little bit strange. That's really the only decision of his that I'm not sure where he gets. I mean, I guess the state has plenary authority. State can order something like that. The state can require you to do anything. The question is then, is there a prohibition in your list of rights in the federal constitution that prohibits a state from doing that?
We talked about this before, and that's what about the rights of the father? They're non-existent, I guess, in that case, huh?
Well,
about.
I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean...
See, it's like they're drones anyway. Men are drones. I mean, we only live to get laid anyway. So the fact is, we're like male bees. You know, we hang out at the top of the hive and come down every once in a while and mate.
Yeah.
And we come down and mate and we go back to the top of the hive. And look, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, what interest does the father have? What right does the father have in the unborn child? That is to say, is it a property interest? Is it a life interest? Is it a liberty interest? Is it a...
We're not going to talk about that now.
Okay.
let's move on from that. Seriously, we can cover that another time, but I don't really want to get into that because I haven't dwelled on it all that much because you brought up some valid points last time that I hadn't thought about that much, and I still haven't.
Well, so I'm not sure...
I went and took a shower instead.
So I'm not sure exactly how that should fall or where it would go. I think it's a very minor point, though.
Okay, it is. The problem, of course, that the senators have is that he's been confirmed twice, vetted and confirmed twice on the lower courts.
You mean the problem that the Democratic senators have?
Yeah, but the vote was 100-0 to confirm him as he had moved up because he had to be... You know, all federal judges have to be confirmed by the Senate, of course. Even the lower ones, you know, the appeals ones. So he's been confirmed twice by all of the people that are there now complaining.
Yep, that's a problem for them.
Yeah.
I can name another couple of cases here that he's come down on. There was an ACLU case. They tried to stop a display, which they called a religious display, which they tried to stop based on the incorporation doctrine, that is the inability of the state to promote any certain religion. The display had a Frosty the Snowman and a menorah and a few other things up there. And this judge, Alito, ruled that that was okay. It doesn't violate, it doesn't promote any particular religion.
And he was again the ACLU.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting. I'm reading a book right now called The ACLU Against the United States or something. A lot of this.
You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like a big deal. It's one of those things that's again, distorted because all of the schools are public right now.
Right.
And another one that's like that is...
We'd like to say government-run rather than public.
Yeah, exactly.
They're run by the government, which you would expect. I mean, you would expect...
They are run by the government.
That's yeah, they're not public. You try to go over to the school here, they'll kick you off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
I mean,
right.
I was a lifeguard at the University of Florida here, and I can't swim at the pool because it's... not open to the public.
Even though, yeah. How many of the parklands that you see says no trespass. There's one right here on Paints Prairie. It says,
yeah,
you know, go in here, get shot.
Yeah,
it's, right. It's my land.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Sorry,
public
no.
land, but no
public land.
No people can go.
No people can go.
Yeah, that, yeah, right. That's right. No people. No actual people. It's public, but no actual people can go.
There was also another confusing opinion. He ruled that the school failed to protect a disabled student from bullying. Apparently, they were making fun of his lack of athleticism.
Cripple fight!
Exactly. They're making fun of his athleticism and his perceived sexual orientation. And that he ruled that under the state's Disability Education Act, that the state, the school had failed to provide the student with a free and adequate education.
Really?
Yeah. And so that's one that the Dems should like.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, it's distorted based on the idea that if it was a private school, I mean, the teachers tried. Everybody tries to prevent bullying.
Sure. It happens. You know, kids
right.
suck. I mean, we all grew up under that.
It happens. How can you stop it?
You can't. You absolutely can't. It is a dream to stop. I was looking at this the other day. I thought, here I am at my age now. I think if I was to be able to go back, you know, turn back the clock with what I know now, I'd act a lot differently. But kids don't.
This kid was gay or something?
No, they were just saying, you know.
You know, that was a
big...
No,
we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah. There was another case, Fatim versus INS, which basically he ruled that the woman had a greater ability to get asylum than the rest of the court ruled.
Say what now?
This woman wanted asylum. She wanted asylum from being prosecuted for her gender freedom. Based, you know, she was Iranian or something.
Oh, okay.
They
okay,
were
going to okay.
deport her.
Okay.
INS wanted to deport her, and she said, don't do that.
They're going
to
kill me. They'll
right.
stone me. Right.
Exactly. And so he ruled on the side to let her have asylum.
Okay.
So that's good.
Yeah, I like that.
There was one.
When in doubt, let him in.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and, you know, the woman's going to get her ass beat.
of course, it's interesting because what they do is if you happen to float from Cuba over here in a cardboard box.
They sink you.
They sink you. That's right. No asylum here, pal.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, here's your welcome committee.
That's right. We'll shoot one across the bow.
Right.
Oops.
Yeah.
Hit the bow.
They're giving us a 10-gun salute. No, that's not what that is.
No, it's a little different.
And so also there was a case where a school prevented a newspaper from publishing certain speech based on the school's power over the newspaper.
Okay, now, was this a government-run school, or does it matter, or does it really matter in this particular case?
This one doesn't matter, and I don't think it was a government-run school, but it easily could have been. Actually, yes, it was a state college school district, and they basically regulated the newspaper heavily.
Right.
And he ruled on the side of freedom of expression, said they can't do that.
Really?
Yep.
Now, that's surprising.
Cool.
Well, you say that, but that's kind of surprising. I thought, you know, what happened to in loco parentis and all that business? I mean, the fact is that the schools, I would think that they would have the ability to basically, they, you know, it's their paper. I mean, you say it's the student-run paper, but obviously the administration has a vested interest in some of the stuff that's in there. And if you, I mean, where do you draw the line? That's the question.
Right. Well, this was non-vulgar, non-disruptive speech or language that was not going to disrupt the student's ability to learn in any way.
Who said?
Those two categories were included in the article that I read.
So why did the question then, of course, and I don't... You may
why did
have,
they want to regulate the
yeah,
speech?
Yeah, exactly.
No telling. I mean,
no telling,
probably,
okay.
You know, some kind of power trip or something.
Well, if it's a power trip, you can sort of... But again, once you cross
well, what,
that
what
line...
What kind of speech would you let them regulate?
Oh, again, if it's... if they... Certainly anything that borders on rumor... I mean, you know,
like what? You know, Principal So and So's a dick or something.
No, no, Principal So and So's screwing one of the kids.
Well, you can't. There are certain things which you can't do, which are libel.
Well, you could say that I heard that there might. Again, you might. Of course, the question that you're right, but there is libel. It seems the question then. We're dealing here with juveniles, and certainly, it seems to me that if the advisor to the newspaper says, "Look, you're going to get in trouble for this. You can't do this." You know, where do you draw the line on that? Because the advisor looks at the pre-press, you know, prior restraint, whatever you want to call it, and says, "No, you can't do that. It's this is libel." And the and then what happens at that point?
Well, you know, if it's libel and they print it, then that person can be sued.
Okay, that person is a 15-year-old, and of course,
well, this was state college
school district. Yeah, but it's state. That doesn't mean anything. State college school district is probably high school.
Okay.
In other words, a state college county. It's Pennsylvania. That's a whole county probably. That my guess is that that is not has nothing to do. If it's a school district, my guess is that it's the K-12 outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I'm assuming that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it seems to me that the administrators have a pretty much of a broad rule over what can be go in that newspaper.
They did it when I was going to school.
Yeah. Well, it was probably had to do with the fact that it's more of a government institution. That is to say, again, because it's a government-run school, they have less ability, less control over you than, say, a private school would. Private school will tell you, psh, forget it.
Yeah, you're out.
Yeah.
Gone.
Cross this out and we're expelling you.
Yeah, exactly.
But public school these days, again, the power is sort of taken out of their hands.
You do. I have noticed that the kids today got in government-run schools have, quote, more rights than certainly I did when we were growing up. I mean, that is...
Newspapers are one of those tricky things. It's like the U.S. Army just shut down some U.S. Army radio because...
Good morning, Vietnam!
Exactly.
And they were saying some anti-war stuff.
That makes perfect sense to me, though.
That the government would shut them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and the Army.
Right.
That because you know, Army's Army. You know, you do what you're told. I'm sorry. You're done.
And they're not shutting down the free press.
No.
If you can have a free press station right next to them and broadcast whatever you want.
So my question is how does that differ to some extent? How does that differ from the government run schools? I mean, the Army is government run. The schools are government run. Doesn't the administration have basically total control over what's printed in that newspaper?
I think that it has to do with the size of the organization. That is to say,
size matters, eh?
Yeah. Well, just from the standpoint of if it's the military, well, let's see.
You know, this brings up another point, and that this is something that we've talked. We haven't talked about that much, and that is it what's not all right in freedom for one person to do another? It's not all right for me to come up to you and with a gun and take your money. But apparently, if I get, you know, 500 or 1,000 or the rest of the town here and say we want your money,
then that's okay.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, that you know, like you say, size is a mob any more legal than an individual? And obviously the answer is yes.
Well, I'm talking about the opposite.
Are you?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that the larger and more controlling the group is, the less control they should have over the freedom of the press. That is to say, if it's one tiny private school, you don't care if they regulate their little newspaper. If it's the school district and every school in the district, then maybe you care because you want people to be able to say something. If they control every newspaper in the school district, then that there's
but
more power.
But these are high schools, for God's sakes. I mean, this is, you know, the newspaper.
Well, what do they got to worry about what a high school kid says?
Here's the deal, though. The high in this day and age, especially with blogs, with the internet, with the Xerox machine, anybody can put up pamphlets any place they want. Just about any. I mean, you're not stifling so much freedom of the. So you realize that it's a government organization. You realize that the school newspaper is the school newspaper, and the administrators sit there and say, "Look, this we want this to put a good face on." It's bullshit. I mean, so that's fine. That does not prohibit the kids from getting what may be, you know, the news. Hey, EJ, buddy, you're here.
Good evening, gentlemen.
All right, we have another person. That's good. Well,
that could be.
I mean, that's my thinking is that in the school, especially when you're talking about juveniles, I see it as the school having a vested interest in controlling, you know, you can call it anything you want, fascism, whatever, you know, totalitarian. So what? It is.
Well, again, this you're thinking in the context of juveniles,
right?
In context of adults and juveniles.
Well, that's apparently though. But that's yes, I am. Okay, go ahead.
And I guess I mean most people don't think of your rights kicking in until you're an adult, and the idea.
Right.
So I mean.
So he said that they had the rights when they weren't adults.
Well, maybe so if that were the case. But and whatever it is, he came down on the idea of greater freedom of speech, which I like. So.
Yeah, okay.
To me, you know, I don't think the school has much to worry about from the kids. If they print something libelous, then they'll get sued.
You know, of course, then, but what can you do to, again, when they're juvenile, they're you know, what do? They get kicked out, they get expelled.
You take their parents to the cleaners.
There you go, because their record's going to be expunged when they hit 18 anyway, so
yeah.
You can just take them out and beat them on a, you know, tie them up to a flagpole and beat them in front of their peers, you know.
I put them in the stocks.
Oh, yeah, see?
That's what I object to. I would like...
They've removed, yeah.
Seems like we ought to have the stocks again.
Here's another school case where he ruled that a school resource officer could be fired if the school resource officer was arrested on a drug charge.
Okay.
You know, the school resource officer sued trying to prevent his being fired.
Okay, the guy's a reprobate and he can't be... Of course, that's, again...
Well, he was trying to sell his drugs to the kids.
Well,
that's
what
we draw.
What kind of resource are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute, if he was hired in the first place for the marijuana resource...
Man, that's my resource officer, man.
And his resources weren't good enough and they didn't want to fire him.
They wanted some new resources.
That's right. His was low-grade resources.
Exactly.
Grade resources,
swaggy resources. They want some fine resources.
That's right.
Now yeah, they said they fired him for a drug deal gone bad. What they meant was he got some bad stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
He sold the commissioner some bad stuff.
No, that was who ratted him out. Was one of the other teachers. Yeah, this stuff sucks.
Man, like on the oregano, man. I ain't taking that cut.
How am I supposed to teach on this?
How am I supposed to tolerate my students on oregano?
Yeah. So anyway, he ruled that they could in fact fire him, which I think, you know, like you said, you know, they should be able to.
Well, it's interesting because I think I mentioned this one time before when I was at a meeting when the head of the union here, the teachers union, was so proud. I mean, patting himself on the back, breaking out the champagne. Let's have some high five all around. He was explaining that recently they had upgraded the firing regulations and rules for the Alachua County school teachers here so that it now, if you do it exactly right, with all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, it only takes 3 years to get rid of a bad teacher.
Wow, that's making you imagine
boy,
the resources spent on that production.
That
reading hasn't gotten any better.
That's like out of here. 3 years. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. 36 months. And you think about it, that's 3 years. So anyway, here, I guess this guy is saying that... how can you fire me without going through the proper procedures?
I was just arrested.
Yeah, that's all. Hey, I want a hearing. I want a hearing.
I haven't been tried yet.
Yeah. Well, he is innocent until proven guilty, but he's an officer.
When we indict our congressmen or senators, we want them free to deal with the indictment. So this is why we have them step down from their posts.
All right. Then there's a case called Williams where Alito granted a habeas corpus, a federal habeas corpus writ.
Okay, that's get out of jail free, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why are you being held here? Let's get out.
Right. And it was to a black man who didn't get a retrial because somebody had overheard juror number 5 saying he doesn't like black people out in the hallway. And usually that's grounds for retrial,
right.
And he didn't get it, so Alito granted him his federal habeas corpus right, which I agree with as well.
Okay, well, what was the crime?
So he let him go.
What
doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. He butchered his wife. Oh, he's okay. Let him out.
He didn't get it wasn't a fair trial, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Wait a minute. That does not erase the fact that he may have butchered his wife.
May have is the operative. He didn't do it. Yeah, he's innocent.
We got a process to determine whether
he did innocent.
Or not.
He's innocent.
And if the process gets flawed, then you got to chuck the process and
right.
do it over again.
Right.
But
aren't
there instances when you have individuals who may be so dangerous that it's...
It's the serious of the crime versus the procedure.
Interesting. You should mention that there is a standard in the law called the proof is evident and the presumption is great and the proof is evident.
Okay, so without
that's
trial,
when that's when they hold
he's
that's
holding
when they,
the knife.
That's when they remand.
That's when they deny you bail.
Right.
Okay. Basically, you're entitled
they bury
to bail
you before the trial.
You're entitled to bail unless they really think you did it.
Yeah.
And you may be some danger to the community.
This was not the case with this guy.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know the
case. No, I'm telling you.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that, so I'm telling you that.
Oh, this must be law then.
It was, yeah. That's right.
Jimmy's assumptions, our laws.
You could do worse. You could do worse.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is for the statement of the argument, we have to assume some things because we don't have all the case facts. So we argue it based on what we decide is we build the case up as we need it to be built to discuss things, and then we argue those points. So you can't because there's an infinite amount of variables. So anyway, go ahead.
And we don't care.
Right.
All right. Well,
he's out.
Uh-huh.
He's out.
He's free.
Yeah, he's free.
Yeah, good.
So based on those cases, I'm going to go with thumbs up on Scalito.
Ah, you're not allowed to say thumbs up. That's copyrighted.
Thumbs up his butt is what he meant. He's sending him to his proctologist.
Who copyrighted that?
Ebert and Roper.
Get
Come
out.
On.
No, they did. They copyrighted.
They copyrighted saying the term thumbs up.
Yep.
It's they like, got it from...
Let's get ready to fumble. Can I say that?
No. It's Fonzie no, had the
yeah,
thumbs
yeah.
up.
Yeah, how did they get it from Fonzie?
They copyrighted it. If you do thumbs up on movies, and now they copyrighted it for movies, so you're allowed to say it here. But no, you're right. But if you go to their website, I'm sure I bet you anything that there's a little R by the thumbs up.
I'm going to put on the Jimmy Dunn homepage 2 thumbs up.
Yeah. Do it.
Let's copyright the middle finger is what
yeah.
we
yeah, yeah, exactly. How about that?
Well,
yeah.
And then whenever somebody shoots us a bird, we'll sue them.
Yeah.
I want 50 cents every time somebody flips somebody off. That's great.
Royalty.
50 cents. Yeah, speaking of royalty, did you see the royals were in town?
Oh. What? No,
Prince
no, no.
Charles and Camilla?
Oh, those, yes, the royals. I thought you meant the Kansas City.
The real royals. Really? Where are they? Oh,
apparently they were sent around to the back door of the White House. They didn't get to go through the front door. They did a stealth visit to the White House, somebody said.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, apparently they snuck in with nobody looking.
What were they worried about?
Nobody cares about them. You know, let's face it. Look, here's the deal. The problem that they've got is people that look on Camilla turn to stone.
That's why she wears that veil. I couldn't figure out. She always had that veil in public.
She's not that bad. I tell you, she gets back. I mean, maybe put her up next to Diana and sure.
And our point is. Yeah, exactly. Think about it. Here's a guy that's got the fox. I mean, the super fox. The super fox. Well, and he marries his grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Well.
He's not well.
No.
Well, Diana, she doesn't look so good anymore.
No, but she did.
Yeah.
And he chunked her.
He's probably looking for somebody a little closer to his bloodline, actually. You know,
they have
a tendency for that.
I understand that. He's, you know, decided to become a West Virginian or something like that. Marry his cousin. I don't know.
There were some riots in Paris.
What? Again? I was in Paris one time when they had a riot.
Really?
Student march. Yeah, right down the Boulevard Saint-Michel.
Hmm.
It was always fun to see those guys, and of course, I didn't understand what they were saying back in those days.
You're just yelling French things.
Yeah, they were yelling French shit.
Vive la France!
No, they weren't doing that. They were. It was mostly merde à la États-Unis or something like that. You know, shit on the United States, whatever. Mm-hmm. They were pissed.
Well,
they were protesting McDonald's.
Oh well, they're not pissed at us now. They're upset because there's been sort of a crackdown on crime in this particular immigrant district.
Yes,
a couple guys got electrocuted.
Whoa!
Well, they were hiding from the cops, and they must have been hiding in, like, the high-tension wires.
They climbed. they touched the third rail, apparently.
They were hiding in a transformer or something like that.
Yeah, like the 11-year-old boy who was smoking a cigarette here in Gainesville. So something similar to that.
He'll be safe in here.
Yeah. the deal is, so this is, of course, if you've ever been to Paris, they do have these districts that are just, I mean, they're like totally Muslim and totally everything.
Yeah, this is like a far northeast district of Paris on the outside suburbs.
Okay, I know where
low
that is.
Low income and full of immigrants, and apparently they're getting whacked by the French police.
Okay.
But what do you mean getting whacked by the French police?
I mean, they're getting pushed around.
Oh, well, that's different. There's a difference. I mean, my definition of whack is, you know...
I just meant with a stick.
Come on, shoot these mother!
They don't have guns.
No, you're talking about England.
I don't think French people
Oh, the French
guns,
police carry guns.
No. I don't know. Okay. I mean, they probably do now, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and your point is... And so who rioted? The students, as usual.
Yeah, the students did.
The students. It doesn't take anything to get them students riled up. Yeah, it's like a snow day for those people. I mean, they just... we don't want to go to class today. Let's riot. What can we do? What can we riot about today?
Oh, man, I rioted like last Tuesday, man. I'm like rioted out.
Yeah. I'm going to go see that hot chick, man. Fifi, she's rioting today. I'm going to see her.
And do you want to go to the riot with me later?
Yeah, there you go. They can't afford dates, so they take them out to riots.
We're going to have it. We're having a spontaneous riot next Thursday.
Yeah, I want everybody to be prepared, okay? Right. Bring your Molotov cocktails, your cigarettes, Galois, of course, and be prepared.
I went on a blind riot the other day, man.
Yeah, that's right. Rave riots.
Handing out ecstasy.
That's what it would take.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got here?
That's about, oh, Denver. Yeah, did we take?
Oh my God,
Denver!
I'm already packed and I'm moving out. Denver.
Let's all go to Denver. They
is that why Jack Rhodes isn't here today?
he went to check it out.
He's doing the recon.
They says in the paper that they legalized marijuana in Denver.
Did they say legalized or did they say decriminalized?
That's a good point.
It says Mile High City legalizes pot possession.
Wow, yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Well. But the point is that they obviously must have decriminalized it. I don't think they
it must be what it is there's a Denver's probably a home rule city. They probably have their own little city ordinance that's against marijuana. That's a civil fine,
right?
And they probably undid that civil ordinance.
But they did say in there that they still were subject to the federal rules
and I think the state laws
and
as well.
State.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's different from California, where in California, if you get stopped by the California people, they won't arrest you for the federal. People, they'll just tell you to move along,
right?
But I'm guessing in Colorado, it's going to be tough for them to not arrest you on the state charge. But I would say that probably the police chief in Denver has probably told his boys, "Don't do it."
Yeah, I would guess that's. They said that the vote was symbolic.
Well, and the vote was also 54%
to
46%. Yeah,
vote of what?
That was
they passed it.
Of course, the question.
56,001 voters, which isn't a lot, but
they did a referendum, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was a referendum day. The last Tuesday was the day that they undid the tax cap. That was the big news actually in Colorado was the tax cap. The minor news, the minor side note, was the Denver vote on the marijuana. Believe it or not,
nobody buying drugs cares about the tax cap. They care about buying drugs, and that's about the 56,000 people that came out to vote. Or maybe 26,000 of the 56 that came out to vote. So, you know, who cares about the taxes?
Okay, well, the tax thing was a statewide deal. So there was more than the 26,000 that voted on that. But, so, I mean, there were like, I don't know how many people, million or something, however many voted. I don't even know how many voted, you know, statewide. You're right. If it bleeds, it leads. Apparently, if it's drugs, it leads. Mm-hmm. In spite of the fact that it's way more important what happened monetarily, economically, in every 6 ways from Sunday. What happened as far as tax cap is concerned. And that was about a dozen years ago, Colorado passed a deal that said that the taxes in the state taxes could only go up by inflation plus the population growth. That is to say, if inflation was 3%, the population growth was 3%, the most that state revenues could increase was 6%. Now, what's happened is since the crash of 2000 and the ups and downs and all arounds, a lot of things have changed, and the state legislature is chafing, shall we say, and they want more money.
Sure,
so they put this thing on to repeal that cap, and sure enough, they got it. They got a lot of it. They got part of it repealed. They got what they did is they got it repealed. I believe they got it repealed for a part. They had what they call interesting enough, the Republican governor wanted the repeal so they'd have more money to spend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so as they say, another rhino, a Republican in name only. But apparently this is a moratorium. It may expire. I don't know. I haven't read the whole thing, but apparently what's the deal is that it goes back to the cap again after they get the $3 billion extra dollars.
Right, after they get the money they want.
What were they thinking? They must have been smoking pot.
Oh, hard to believe. In Denver, that's right. Well,
Mile
High. That's right. High is the operative word.
It's going to be Wild High City
Well, the point that I wanted to make on this was that when you talk about legislatures, it's never enough. It doesn't matter how. If Bill Gates was to ride into town here tomorrow and write us a check for $1 billion, I'll guarantee our people here would say, do you have any more? Is that it? Yeah, exactly. Is that it?
No. Just 10 times the amount.
Just 10. You got them. Drop in your bucket, buddy. Well, I tell you, what is Colorado's main export? What is their...
Snow.
Is it? That's what I thought. There's tourism.
Yeah,
right?
I'm guessing it's... Well, they have beef, and they do beef. They do a lot of beef, but skiing is a big deal, and I don't... To be honest with you, I'd have to, you know, do a Google here.
I bet you the number...
junk food.
Yeah, right, exactly. Everybody gets the munchies.
Or import, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's going to be their big import. The Lay's potato chip people are going to do a land hopping business here pretty soon.
Windfall profits.
That windfall profits to Lay's potato chip, that's right. And extra tax on them, that's right.
Chicken
that's the way you could find out. I guess that's when you don't actually know how much marijuana is being sold in a town, right. You track the sale of Lay's. It's kind of like when they track your electricity usage at your house,
right? Right.
And suddenly you're using 9 million gigawatts, and they think, must be growing the greens.
So I see you ordered a box of candy bars here.
Yeah, that's right. they've stopped. Of course, you can't go in and get the ephedrine, you know, anymore. That's all.
You can't get Sudafed.
You can't get Sudafed without. It's like almost
a
prescription drug.
You can't get sick without a prescription. Now.
No, that's right. You have to go in and ask.
What's wrong with Sudafed?
You can make ecstasy.
They took Sudafed off the shelves for real.
Yeah.
And they changed the formula. Not Sudafed PE. Yeah. You notice that? They did a big campaign just a couple weeks ago.
I didn't notice that. Yep. But people were going in and buying cases of this stuff,
right? Yeah.
And going to the meth labs. And
first, they limited it. They put a little note up on the public.
You can only buy two boxes or three boxes at a time.
You're not that sick. You don't need.
Yeah, you don't need. How many?
It's the middle of the summer. What are you buying that for?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what about at a Sam's Club when you get your economy ton?
Well, I think that they've stopped a lot of that stuff.
Well, it's gone now. Wow, that's great. You know, whatever.
No,
that's where the price of my. I mean, oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
So they basically made this stuff, you know, practically a prescription drug,
right?
Anymore, just because people were.
What about cough syrup? Can you still get cough syrup?
Well, alcoholics, of course, you know, drink Listerine, I guess, or cough syrup, or some of that stuff doesn't have alcohol in it. I don't know.
I saw a thing about drilling in Alaska.
What? You're kidding?
No. They had two people on. They had this one woman from the Wildlife Society.
Oh, my God.
And then they had an Eskimo who actually lived there. Did you see that?
I couldn't believe the Eskimo.
Yeah, he was great.
Where was this?
Or the drilling.
Yeah. Here it was.
Well, they mostly are.
Yeah, it was.
You understand, they do get a check from the oil.
Absolutely.
That guy was drunk
from his check. And I mean, he was giddy.
This was the woman from McNeil Lair, the black woman who's very good.
I know who you're talking about, right.
Anyway, so it's on McNeil. Lair, and basically the woman who didn't live there, what was from the Wildlife Society, was saying, well, we need to preserve this beautiful preserve, and it's going to affect the caribou, and it's going to really destroy everything. And the Eskimo was saying, bring it on!
Yeah. Well,
we got four herds of Eskimo. We got four herds of caribou.
Yeah. Well, she said, well, it hurt the caribou. And he said, well, that's what they said in 1970 when they wanted to put the first oil platform in there, and the numbers have pretty much tripled or quadrupled.
They have tripled. They have the caribou. The number of caribou have tripled since then, and the reason is that the pipeline is heated, and so they hang out by the pipeline. And no, seriously, they have tripled.
That's all those oil workers are feeding them.
Well, no, their oil workers are gone, but they hang out by the pipeline. And if you, I've been up there, and of course I don't know if you know this, but the pipeline goes above ground and below ground.
Yeah,
and it is how do you think that they determine the height above ground?
The height of a caribou's
exactly
horns.
Exactly, that's exactly right.
Perfect.
That's exactly right. If they want to make sure that the caribou doesn't have to duck to go underneath it. Well, of course they hang out by the damn thing. The
must
friction.
Smell great under cleaning those pipelines.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Well, so here's this woman. She's talking about the caribou, and she's talking about. She says, "Oh, this is beautiful land. You can't risk it. It's pristine. It's wonderful. It's beautiful." And he says, well, it's pretty much wasted tundra.
I mean, she's looking at him, and Gwen is looking at both of them like, good God, what's going on here?
I've been there, and I can tell you that the wildlife, people don't understand how big that is. Just the refuge that is preserved is the size of California. Where they want to drill is the size of LAX. So think about it. That's what they're talking about. And I want to tell you something else. You know how many people live up there?
We know.
400.
I mean, yeah, that's what he said. His tribe was 500 people.
I'm telling you that.
And they said,
And I want to tell you something else about the wild. They always show you the picture. Like I saw a postage stamp, for instance, one time that had the caribou and the skunks and the beavers and all communing. Like, you know, the sheep and the lamb shall lay down.
That was every animal.
The lion in every animal. That's right. They had actually had a group photo of every single Alaskan animal at the same time,
including a whale.
And they, yeah, that's right.
You're getting 300 here.
Yeah. And so we're talking about. I don't mean sparse, but when we were up there traveling around in Denali, which is actually the populated part of the thing. This is way down south. And it took a 40-power telescope to see the lone goat that on top of a mountain. They said, there's your wildlife. And he saw this. I saw this fly speck. And he, you know, we whipped out the old binoculars. And sure enough, it was of some kind of goat that they've got up there. And that's what I got to see in the wild. I saw one bear, one moose, one goat, and a couple of elk. And that was it in the 14 days I was up there. That was it. And I'm telling you. And they've tripled the elk population. There's nobody there. The place they want to drill is a postage stamp. And this lady from, you know, Maine.
Wildlife Foundation.
Wildlife Foundation. NWF. Who lives in New York City says, it's going to hurt me.
Right.
And, Shut up, bitch.
And they asked the Eskimo, what have they gotten? What benefits have they received? And he says, we got running toilets now.
Finally in 2000, we had running toilets.
Yeah.
Like, well, they get a check of like 2,000. Every single Alaskan native.
You citizen.
Citizen, right. In other words, if you go up to Alaska tomorrow and say, I be a citizen of Alaska, you get a check for $2,000 a year from the oil revenue.
EJ.
Know. Then
I'm gone, man.
Yeah, that's it. But that's more.
Mile High City's not there. How? Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm conflicted.
There's no cops in Alaska to arrest you.
That's right. And wait a minute. Jimmy might go. That's more than I made last year.
Right.
Jeez, that's like a real wage. Go out there and shoot an elk and eat it or whatever.
Heck yeah.
Well, I'd be more concerned about the tundra thawing out than I would putting a small postage stamp size.
Wait. Hold on. Sorry. You're worried about what now?
The tundra thawing out because of whatever this mystical global warming is than just the idea of
shoot, then people could live there.
The drawback of that would be people like, here, yeah, Jimmy, you would have waterfront property.
And your point is?
Just pointing that out.
Okay. So what?
I'd like to have a waterfront.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I'm concerned. I mean, you guys don't have to be. You can live in la-la land, but, you know.
We're not concerned about global warming. It's just that, A, we don't think the humans are doing it, and B, we don't think the humans can stop it.
Right. That's the main thing. They can't stop it. So what? Deal with it.
Exactly. It's deal with it.
That's it. You know, what are you going to do?
Yep.
Deal with it.
You're prepared to stop it, is what you're saying.
No, there's no way. How many people stood out there and stopped Katrina or Rita?
Right.
Now, that's a different. I have a feeling those are different animals as opposed to.
Well, the beauty of global warming is you got like years to prepare for it, not just a week.
Which is what we're not doing.
Oh, I'm prepared for it.
That's right.
I'm prepared for it.
You have waterfront property, or soon to be waterfront property.
Sure. No, that's the whole point. Yeah. Right. Look, here's the deal. If the United States today shut down, if let's say there was a plague, everybody in the United States died, all the machines were turned off, no more global warming from the United States, it still wouldn't matter. It still would happen, just at roughly the speed that it's happening.
It's happened in the past.
It has happened in the past anyway.
Sure, it has, but isn't it possible that we are contributing to this in a large way?
Yeah, but and we're not going to do anything to stop it. So, in fact, that's the other thing. And of course, the question is, how would you? We're not going to stop it.
Okay,
we're not going to stop it.
The question I had.
That's the issue that I think. I disagree with.
Okay, how would you do it?
Yeah.
I imagine I would rather, just to preface what I'm about to say, I would rather try and die trying.
How would you do that?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I would look for other forms of energy.
Okay, then what?
Let's see. What else do we have that's...
Look, there's a big dial. Burning. You can go to the sundial, and you just turn it down a little bit.
Oh, no. That's what it was.
I'm asking EJ a legitimate question. How would you change it?
Conventional wisdom is that through the burning of fossil fuels, we're enriching the atmosphere with gases which are greenhouse gases which don't release the infrared radiation that's absorbed by the Earth. But if you look at the total volume of those gases been released, into the atmosphere through all of the burning of all the wood and coal and fossil fuels since the beginning of this century, it doesn't add up to a blip in terms of the scope of that necessary to raise the temperature of the globe.
I disagree. I mean, I imagine you
okay,
could
you
take
disagree,
a single
but my,
generation
I
could raise the temperature several degrees just by doing what we're doing, burning, you know, lights on when we need to, hop in this SUV when we need to.
It's insignificant.
Gasoline.
It's
is not
insignificant.
When you can look at, from the space shuttle and see the ground smoking where the Twin Towers were on September 11th, that told me that we could set a fire that could drown out, that could block out the sun.
Okay, it doesn't tell me that.
Okay,
but anyway,
okay, but and my question still is, what would you do about it?
Well, I believe I suggested we start conserving. I guess that's basically, it comes down to
okay, what, how would you,
and realize that I don't know everything, and that, you know, I would be prepared to listen to others as opposed to just write them off because they disagree with my position.
Well,
you still haven't answered my question. You haven't answered my question. I'm asking you, how would you personally deal with this particular, what you perceive as a problem? And you say, we need to do it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I tell you the truth. I'm going to still drive
on. What he's saying is, you cut down or you eliminate
as an individual,
fossil
yes,
fuels.
You have no alternative but to. And then you get with other groups who believe with you, and then you move around and you speak with other individuals who can hopefully join your platform.
But I'm not going to join it.
Well, that's okay.
Well, and, see, in fact,
I wouldn't be surprised if you did. Your position is carved in stone, and you are not going to be affected by facts, truth, fiction, otherwise. You have a position, and that's the one
I'm affected by fiction. No.
I'm affected by facts, and the facts are that if you can say that you can see a fire from space or whatever, but that doesn't account for the need of the input of power, which is required to raise the global temperature.
I haven't suggested that we stop utilizing power. In fact, what I think we should do is
even if you eliminated all of the burning of all fossil fuels around the world, you would not affect the global temperature.
No, I can't agree with that. And because we live in a finite space, it's not the universe we're talking about.
It's just math.
This is what
you think do you think that if we actually stopped burning all the fossil fuels, that the world would just become in this stasis and not change anymore?
Well, there are volcanoes and there are natural fires.
Okay.
And so,
right.
However, if you think that you don't need to try to make an effect
okay, let's assume that your effect is 1%, and
my point is that you try. Okay, you try. What I'm getting at here is what ultimately happens is this: when you say we need to do this and we need to do that, ultimately what happens is some huge government agency gets and starts telling me what to do
because you, as an individual, refuse to do it on your own.
Right. So they're gonna. So they've determined that I and, you know, 50 million or 100 million of my fellow compatriots are contributing to global warming, and they come down and they say, by the way, you can't buy an SUV anymore. You know, you have to buy a hybrid car, or you have to buy your electricity from wind power, or I'm going to take your tax dollars and invest in geothermal as a government agency.
Which, of course, is going to be like 1% efficient when they do it. Right. But anyway, go ahead.
That's the hardest.
And of course,
you have to wait for the government to tell you. Why do people have to wait for the government to step in and impose regulation on them? You have a government. As soon as you need something to happen, we need something, the government comes in. You have to create a government. Somebody that will, you know, make these decisions for you, take away your freedoms and rights.
Right.
Because as individuals, we apparently are not capable of sort of, you know, I don't know, realizing.
So the smarter and wiser
of us is the government.
The 535 people in Washington are smarter, wiser, and nobler than we are, and they're going to sit and they're going to pass them
That's what I said. Thanks for paraphrasing
that's
it.
They're the ones who pass the laws.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with them. In fact, I rarely agree with them.
But no, my point is that if 50% plus one of them decide that I and 50 million of my other friends here are doing the wrong thing for the environment, they can stop me. Okay, and that's...
That may happen.
So what my point is that there's a couple of hundred people up there that are wiser, certainly wiser than I am, collectively. And that's what you're saying.
Well, if they each had an IQ of one, they'd still have 535 IQ. So, yeah,
I don't think it works that way.
That's still one.
Look, we're still talking apples and oranges here. I mean, the bottom line is that we all agree that if there was something that we knew that we could do that would actually have a change, then we would do it, A. Or, B, we would allow or wouldn't mind if the government made us do it. Okay, But I think that the three of us think that there's nothing we can do that can affect. Well,
no, and the fact of the matter is that that's the whole point. In other words, it doesn't matter. The market will figure it out. And technology, nobody is even thinking about technology. What if, you know, in the next, you know, 10 years, all of a sudden somebody comes up with a free energy source like Nikola Tesla had? I mean, woohoo, yeah, but I mean, screw that. It's like, but in the meantime, you're going to put this Gestapo
Who's Gestapoing?
You're the one who's saying it.
I'm suggesting that we take a look at this.
Yes, that's the first stage. You look at it, then you say, oh, well,
as an individual, that's what we always do when we start. I'm just saying you need to look at some more studies
before you start jumping and leaping on this.
Well, the other thing,
the fact of the matter is that the market system is the only thing that's going to actually figure some things out, and it's just like the dolphin safe tuna and whatever else. In other words, if enough people complain, you're not going to be successful doing what you're doing by polluting the environment, you know, Union Carbide wiping out people, killing dolphins to try to sail tuna. In other words, people react to those types of things based on whether they think you're a good guy or a bad guy. And, you know, the bad guys only last so long. I mean, ultimately, the good guys
and
no government's going to be the judge of that. It's going to be the market that
The government is made up of people like us.
Right.
But there are two things to consider. One is we are talking about India and China coming online, which are billions of people compared to just millions of us. So that's number one. So even if we disappeared tomorrow, and they are burning. You know, they're out in the hinterlands. They're doing all the bad things that we did, you know, 1,000 years ago. Or 500
absolutely.
Years ago.
So, in space.
But then the other thing is, so what? No. What is the ultimate? So we global warm. Mm-hmm.
Well, look.
And we extinct ourselves. And so what?
Well, yeah, but see, that's the ultimate relativist idea.
Kind of.
Which is, I mean, look, the idea is that...
It ain't going to happen, is what I'm saying. Is it? If you think that we're not going to... Enough of us are going to survive. We're getting ready for a flu pandemic, for God's sakes. You know, you talk about global warming. We're getting ready to wipe out... Some people are claiming 50 to 100 million deaths in the next couple of years from the H1V9 whatever 5
blue. And the only solution to any of this is freedom to be able to experiment individually, you know, be able to get your labs put together and do these things.
Yeah,
to,
because
like,
if you take the money, the investment money, mm-hmm. there's only a certain amount of capital available. So if you take the investment money, the government takes it from me, for instance, mm-hmm. and puts it into geothermal, that means that I don't get to choose to invest in some wacko job that might work. Right. Like the airplane or something, the Wright brothers. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have said when they ask
restrictions on you getting your materials.
Right. Because they're claiming the market of the stuff that I need. But the other thing that I find interesting is how often you look at these inventors or these visionaries later in life, and they ask and they say, well, what started? He says, you know, if somebody told me I couldn't do it, he says the problem was nobody told me I couldn't do it. And so we went ahead and did it.
Right.
I mean, it's so many inventions and shifts in what we do are simply because nobody told them they couldn't do it.
Right. And to think about it today, like you take somebody who went to college and they're you know, biochemist or something like that, and they want to start their own lab, and especially with today's computing power, they can't even get the chemicals. A lot of the chemicals are on the FDA watch list.
Well,
so
you
got it.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to make some of that ecstasy. You can't get the goddamn ephedrine anymore.
You really need to have
I totally agree with you on this.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. This is not where I disagree at all.
Look, the only point of disagreement that we have is whether or not the humans are contributing to global warming and whether or not they can do something about it to affect it. Okay? I mean, the idea is we all agree that if there was something that we were doing and there was something that we could undo or do to counteract that we would do that.
I guess
I would use as an example.
Let's just stipulate for a moment that yes,
it was
humans
7 degrees
are
warmer in Jurassic period than it is today.
Let's stipulate for the moment that, and I've been reading my classmate Ruddiman's book. He says that the climate change has been affected over 5,000 years, not 100, because of humans, and he makes a case for that. But that, be that as it may, that's another story. Let's stipulate that the humans are doing the damage, if you want to call it that, the global warming and so forth and so on. And let's stipulate also that there is a way for the humans to reverse or somehow change that activity. So then the question is, how do you do it? We're talking about eight. How many people are on the 4 billion?
Six billion
people.
If we also stipulate that the current left-sided wisdom is correct. That is to say that the reason that the
hurricanes are worse and some of the ice caps are melting is because of this global warming.
Right.
Because power plants, it's because carbon fuels.
Because of man.
Okay, so we have the solution.
There we go. Now you and I are going to agree.
Eliminate the
100%.
Man.
If we eliminate
the man, we've eliminated the problem.
Right.
Hey, voila. No, you just said that's perfect.
That's the right solution.
And the story.
Bottom line is we can't stipulate to the last part of our supposition because we don't agree that there is a cause or a relationship, a causal relationship between man and the global warming.
Well, again, that doesn't matter. Yeah. That doesn't matter. If 90%, let's assume that somehow the people get convinced, as EJ has suggested, you get together, you have groups, and everybody's convinced, 90%, 80%, 50 plus 1% of the people are convinced that you can do something about it. So they are going to now pass laws.
Okay, well,
no, better to not act on any knowledge you have, rather just let things happen as they will.
Screw that.
No, man, we've got, as you pointed out, over 2 billion people between India and China. Now, more than ever, would be the time to endeavor to encourage these countries to utilize...
Learn Chinese. Try to learn from our
mistakes, you know?
Okay, so yeah. I'm going to put up a billboard where... In Chinese, it says, please don't give a hoot, don't pollute.
Yeah. From your American friend.
Yeah.
On your roof tiles. If you have it, right, if you have right, them, right. You have the blue tiles, if you have them, put the orange one and spell out, please, Chinese people,
they've already drilled down through the ice cores. They know for sure, without question, the Earth has on its own, without man's interference,
up and down,
gone through massive changes.
And it will continue to do so.
Right. And it will continue to do so. Well, that, regardless of whether.
To assume that we are not.
Regardless of whether we put anything in there or not, it's going to continue to do so.
We can increase this if we can make it happen faster.
Yeah, and then you know what?
I have a feeling that would be...
And then we're going
to fail.
Look, I don't want to have a mineshaft gap.
Look,
that's right.
I say, this is from Dr. Strangelove, I say what we do is we can eliminate man from the equation except us.
Right.
And so we have to get, like, we have to figure out if we're going to go in the mineshaft, about 40 babes per guy.
My idea, of course, my company is colonize Mars, so I'm really hoping that they pollute the Earth so that we can get my business going.
There you go.
You know, and my moon base, too.
Yeah, moon base.
If it were something simple, like they figured out that the Nike factory was increasing the warmth of the globe or something like that, then you could say, okay, shut down the Nike factory.
Why do you have to shut it down? Why don't you simply alter it using different chemicals?
Simply.
Whatever. Let's say whatever. The bottom line is that you could do something, and it was easy. Let's say it was everybody just had to go outside, flush one time less or something during the day or something simple like that.
Okay? Don't drive one day a week.
Right. If that was
whatever.
It, then hey, man, I think
people
everybody...
still wouldn't do it.
That's my point.
Humans are lazy. This is why you have this government all of a sudden interjecting laws
now you're flipping
people
around.
Save themselves.
Yeah.
Now you're saying people won't save themselves even if they know how to and it's easy.
And of course, my point
is
this: if people won't say this, if they won't, what right
do
you
want them?
Yeah, exactly.
What right do you have to save them?
Seriously,
screw it! I say call the herd.
Save themselves.
No, call the herd.
Let God help people that help themselves. Shit, he doesn't help the other people.
Right.
That's right.
So you can always create an artificial environment and let everybody else bake out in the freaking sun. I mean, you know, there's that just means, you know, when you have global warming, you can have more solar energy, you know, to keep yourself cooler.
Your place warm.
You've always got, you know, again, this is all back to the if life gives you lemons, make lemonade, you know, or solar lemonade.
And that's what's going to happen. I mean, it is not as catastrophic. People are all worried about how catastrophic. First of all, it'll take years and years to happen, number one. And number
decades, probably.
And number two, so what? So we as humans pollute the Earth, and we do it freely and as of our own volition. And who are you to tell me not to do it?
It's my Earth too. I guess.
No, you go live in a mineshaft.
Now you got it. Now you got it. I mean, that makes sense. I don't have. There's no place for my position because it's.
You know, this is your world. Well, you can do with it what you will.
The fact of the matter is that then, you know, North Pole property becomes more valuable than Caribbean property.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right.
And right now, it's a bargain. I mean, if you want to capitalize and you're convinced it's going to happen, why don't you just make a bunch of money and go buy a bunch of Canadian...
Hudson Bay property.
Right. That's called preparing for something that you're speculating on.
What makes you think I'm not?
I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm taking you.
I mean, I agree. We're talking about the Jimmy Doan listeners who want
that's
to do
right.
this.
Who
we're
want giving, to do this.
We're giving some long-term investment advice.
Long-term
advice.
Exactly. I mean,
long-term investment advice for Jimmy Doan listeners.
Right.
Up in Canada, go 300 miles inland from the coast, and you will have
water for a
brother.
And if you were buying it personally, then you shouldn't be arguing to stop it, or you'd be killing your own profit.
Well, it might be a little reverse psychology. What are the two movies? What was it? The Superman movie was going to make the waterfront property, right? Wasn't he?
Oh yeah, Lex. He's Lex.
And then in the James Bond movie with the Golden guy was going to pump in the water in the ground. Remember that one with
Christopher Walken?
Yeah, Christopher Walken. Right.
Yeah.
They were going to make waterfront property in California by flooding the.
Well, and you see what happened. They got stopped.
Yeah, they got stopped. Superman in one case.
Right.
And James Bond. So it'll happen again.
So someone's going to step out of the shadows and stop him.
Superman was a private solution, sort of. You know, I mean, he was an individual.
Yeah, now he'd be fined and put in jail.
Give him enough money to fly backwards again.
Right.
Let's turn things around.
There you go. Clean it. We can clean the whole planet. Well, no, I definitely believe that we should probably share some knowledge, some insight with some of these up and coming nations who have a lot of people who have a lot to benefit. I mean,
what if they give you the finger?
Yeah,
and that's what they're doing.
They already have. Well, you guys. In fact, they're buying 80% of our Alaskan exports.
The vast
China
majority of fossil fuels are burned in third world countries these days. But even if you track the release of those chemicals into the atmosphere and the climate change over the last 100 years, they don't correspond.
Again, my point is that the only way you're going to do something about it is to eliminate all the freedoms. And that you either have a free society or you don't. You know, you suffer the consequences.
That is the point. Either you have a free society or you don't.
And of course, if you don't, you are engaging in violence. In other words, if somebody's with a gun, is going to tell you what to do. That is the definition of a non-free
society. That's not what this country was founded about.
Well, enlightened. I actually like what I've just learned. I mean, that makes sense. You know, we do have to give up certain rights.
But we do that. That's called the Constitution.
Right. And we have freedoms, and so when...
The rest of them we have are free. Whatever is not in that piece of parchment is left for us. So I can, you know, burn a fire, whatever.
Right.
Although it can't around here.
Freedom, what EJ's point, I think, is that our freedom is limited by our equality in the sense that it's limited by other people's freedom. You can't do what nobody else can do.
Well, I understand that. And again, you can't pollute the river and have it go downstream and pollute. I mean, that's right. That's where a government agency does, in fact, come in. I believe that
the people downriver come up and kill the people.
That's
that
right.
Are up there.
And that may
it's
not
a self-correcting
be.
Well, problem.
Well, yeah, that's why you have the government thing there.
That's why you have the government.
I understand.
But
in other words, that's a double check scenario. I mean,
that's true. In any event, a violence has entered the equation someplace.
That's right. In either event.
All right. What about the NBA thing? Did you guys see that?
Wear a suit?
Yep.
What was that?
The NBA passed a regulation where they regulated... regulations? The NBA passed a regulation where they regulated what people can wear to the games when they're not playing.
Right, the players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the owners.
The fans can still wear anything they want.
Right.
Or not.
And of course, the NBA, he's referring to the owners. That's who passed this.
Right.
Because their guys are going to they're going to practice dressed in ghetto clothes and gangster clothes, and they're really giving the bad impression to the young children who are there to watch them.
Screw them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay, and your point is, Curtis?
Do you think that's wrong? Do you think they didn't have the right to ask them to dress up?
No. I think it's a free organization.
It's a free organization, yeah.
And they can ask them to do whatever they want.
Right.
I wish that the individual owners had done that, and then you could see maybe a trickle down. You know, if you had one team or another team said, oh, you have to wear gangster stuff, or you have to wear a suit or something.
The market would have figured out. Right. I think we mentioned this at least someplace or another, that the NBA overseeing authority, whatever it is, may have suggested that, you know, 6 months ago, and nothing happened. And then they decided to step in for the good of the TV money.
Yeah, it reminds me of the regulations they recently passed at certain companies prohibiting nicotine from being inside the body of their employees.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah, it had like CNN
wow.
Wouldn't hire you or wouldn't even keep you on staff if they tested you. You had to take a little test.
So, in other words, you wear a nicotine patch because you couldn't smoking? That's too bad.
Yep.
You're out. You're out gone. There. History, bye.
Yep.
And the reason is?
They were trying to save money on their health care costs.
Okay, so I didn't realize this, but nicotine just by itself, nicotine, forget the lung disease or whatever, but just in other words, if you inject yourself with, you know,
pure
10
nicotine.
Milligrams of nicotine a day, that's bad for your health? I mean, has that been proven? I don't know.
I don't know if that's
I
been
thought
proven,
it was,
but that's
I
what they acted on.
I thought that the reason that smoking kills you is not because of the nicotine, but because of the byproducts. The other poisonous chemicals that you inhale at the same time.
Yeah, I thought it was because of the damage it does to your lungs.
Right.
Either way.
Combination, gentlemen, doesn't have to be one or the other. They're not mutually exclusive. You know, it's just a combination of things that you're doing to your body.
Well, of course, once you start, again, we're talking slippery slope here. You got to be careful because, remember, for years it was determined that, was it saccharin or sucral or what was the...
NutraSweet?
What was the chemical that was the original sweetener?
It was saccharin.
Was it saccharin? Mm-hmm. Was it saccharin that was determined to be
a carcinogen.
Cancer-causing, and then they found it wasn't. But, right. But my point is that because of your health thing, for years they could have said if we run a test for saccharin. It wasn't saccharin either. It was something else.
But saccharin was the first synthetic sweetener, I believe.
But it was another one. It started with an S, I believe, that was the one that they, and I'll think about it after, as soon as we get off the air here, that was the one that they determined was cancer-causing. So are they going to test for that?
Right.
Okay, what about any of the other things? I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be testing for crack cocaine or something.
Well, what was interesting that after 7 years of doing that, they dropped the policy.
Okay.
They dropped the policy because...
Peter Jennings got lung cancer.
It was tough to find decent employees who didn't smoke.
Ah.
The market got good for the employees.
Ah.
And they got to demand that they could smoke.
Uh-huh.
Take off you hosers. North Miami Beach, same thing happened there. They weren't hiring police officers.
Take off you hosers.
They weren't hiring police officers.
Hello, Canada.
Who smoked. They kept that policy for a few years until it got too difficult to keep people on staff who were good employees.
Yep.
The market figured it out.
Well, they're going to. What was it? We were talking about the other, just here. They're passing laws all over the place now that you can't smoke within 25 or 30 or 40 feet of a building.
Yeah, this is a new one that they're
of gonna, any building.
It's Washington State. Yeah. Well, actually, it's 25 feet of buildings that prohibit smoking. But of course, that's pretty much every building.
Right.
That would mean lighting up near offices, stores, theater, restaurants, and government buildings could bring a $100 fine. And that
sounds like a new revenue
25,
source. To me.
And that's 25 feet per side, so that's a 50 foot span. So I guess you can sit in right in the middle of the street.
In the middle of the narrow, right. Solid double lines. That's the smoking
you're
section.
You're cruising down Washington Street Boulevard or something, and all these smokers right on that double yellow line around the middle of the city.
That's right. That's when smoking is dangerous.
Yeah,
boy,
exactly,
I tell you,
yeah.
I don't mean smoking is dangerous, but I tell you,
lung cancer's down though.
Yeah. 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 People are dying from smoking, but it ain't lung cancer.
So, watch yourself, in these cities, smoking inside is now banned in more than 2,000 cities and towns.
Wow.
And, of course, every airport now and pretty much whatever. Of course, they steal your lighters at airports, and if you, forget about
actually,
it.
Actually, they're slowing that down. They're cutting back on that.
Yeah, they now let you take, I think, toenail clippers, yes. and little pocket knife, pen knives, I think, now are going to be, as of another couple of weeks, they're not going to confiscate those.
God.
They confiscated... I think 70 million articles last year, somebody said, and 80,000 were weapons.
Wow.
So it's 0.01%.
80,000 people
still
tried to carry a weapon through airport security.
Yeah, but a weapon
security.
Is like, your TV remote is a weapon.
No, you're referring to knives as well as firearms?
They were talking about, Bowie knives and stuff and guns. And I think they were, because out of the 7 million things, 70 million things or whatever was they confiscated, that was the crap. That was the fingernail file and the clippers and stuff like that. They classified 80,000 roughly, I think, as actual weapons, which were like guns and shit. That's according to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was anyway. It's like nothing when you think about the stuff. I mean, think about the landfill use involved in disposing of the 80 million whatever they were as items. I mean, what do they do with this?
I think they sell them at a garage sale. No, I think they throw them away. Oh, do they?
Yeah. They do sell at a garage sale luggage that's unclaimed. That they do have a place in Alabama for that.
And we talked about that on a previous show. Yeah. Hey, man, I want all the luggage from Colombia's.
Yeah, that's not what the Colombia sticker. That's my brother's, man. Mine, yeah. He died in transit.
I wouldn't be claiming it as mine.
No. You just buy it.
Right.
You buy it. I'll pay $20 for that big duct tape wrap one. I've got a couple, science and light notes real quick.
Go for those.
Okay. This is kind of cool. Age of the spiritual machine type stuff. Spike cameras let stores know customers' age and gender. And this is Japanese bike maker Yamaha Motors has unveiled a camera system that recognizes if a person is a man, a woman, transvestite, no, I'm just kidding, and puts them into 105 age groups.
Q.
Questioning. Exactly, Q. Sexual orientation. And it says it gets the age right 88% of the time, which is, they're claiming is about the same accuracy of the human eye, which, of course, in my opinion, looking at Japanese people, I wouldn't get that probably all the time. And then 77% of the time for age. So
that's discrimination.
It's discrimination, man. But I'm serious. But well, they're doing it. They're doing it to try to figure out who, if their store displays are attracting the right target market. They got a little picture on here of this little face recognition zooms right in. Boom! All of a sudden, you're categorized as gender and age.
Man, next all they need is a little eye tracker to keep track of what words and displays, images you look at.
I'm telling. Exactly. No, gaze.
Displays you stop in front of?
Well, they already do that at MIT. I mean, they've done that. You go to MIT's media lab, and you can look up.
They've done all this stuff. Yeah, they know how. You can imagine though that the ladies, here on TV, the late night home shopping network, where they're selling that age cream that's supposed to take 10 years off your life, and you walk into one of those Japanese stores, and it actually pinpoints your age. Boy, I tell you, that'd be
that'd be
a reason for a suit. What do you mean I'm 42? Camera destruction,
Well, they don't do
anything. I'm not a woman!
Yeah, that's right.
People like the dykes I've seen. Yeah. I'm not a man, damn it!
It's not that they... I mean, this is, of course, just for their own,
marketing.
Marketing.
Yeah, I guess if you think you're 32, that's good enough.
Yeah, right. No problem. Scientists build world's first single molecule car.
Wow.
It's it's a Rice University.
A half molecule Krusty that rides in it.
It is driven on a little tiny gold microscopic highway. It's a small coupe. I got a picture of it here.
Single molecule. And so they have the single molecule, and then the convertible model is
twice as much.
Right. And half the gas mileage. Right. It's devoid of any plus seating or conventional steering, but
how are you supposed to direct it?
Well, they direct it with a scanning telescopic microscope.
I've got one of those in my back pocket here. Okay.
Yep. But it was kind of cool. It consists of a chassis and axles made of well-defined organic groups, pivoting suspension, and freely rotating axles. The wheels are buckyballs, spheres of pure carbon containing 60 atoms apiece. The entire car measures just 3 to 4 nanometers across, making it slightly wider than a strand of DNA.
That's just slightly bigger than a Kia. That's pretty good.
A human hair, by comparison, it's about a human hair is about 80,000 nanometers in diameter. So this is.
But the wheels alone are
I want to know
parking's not a problem, I guess.
So, parking's not a problem, number one, but when are we going to have the races?
Well, that's the next thing.
Everybody now is going to have. Everybody's going to want one of those special microscopes and everything to put their own together. You can bet.
Well, definitely. You got to race them.
NASCAR now becomes Nano and whatever it is, Society something.
By the way, I did find this on my new favorite website for physics, which is called physorg.com, which is kind of funny. PHYSORG.
Oh, it's not FIZZ.
No. It's a PHYSORG.
When you said physorg, I thought it was a new kind of drink or something.
Yeah. You drink it and it gives you orgasm? Physorg?
Yeah, I thought it was some position.
That's what I thought. Naturally. Physorg, that makes perfect sense to me.
All right, here's the one.
First
EJ,
fizz.
Oh. Here's one EJ will like here. It's a car that makes its own fuel. It's a unique system. Now, this is kind of a cool thing. This is a hydrogen car. And instead of course, pumping in this, liquid hydrogen that everybody's trying to... Oh, my gosh. the delivery system.
What does it cost to make it? What does it take to produce it, to mine it?
This is an Israeli company.
Oh.
And what they've done is... And the car looks really cool, too. You should see it. It's, again, a fizz... Fizzorg.com. Anyway, what they do is they actually have a kind of a coiling wire system that you feed in this magnesium wire. Actually, they use zinc. They're using zinc right now.
I was going to say, magnesium's a little volatile. Yeah.
So what they do is they, and it's got solar power on the roof to kind of start the catalyst, I guess. But anyway, you feed this wire in there, and it spools it up, and then it reacts with water. And, of course, that's a natural, it'll produce hydrogen naturally and steam. There's a lot of heat generated, which, of course, increases the efficiency of the reaction. And this thing is supposed to cost about the same to fill up as, or maybe a little cheaper than your normal car. Of course, it's zero emission.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right. And then, well, you know, you'll see. But anyway, I mean, I just thought it was a cool because, you know, I can't imagine them actually putting together hydrogen fueling stations with liquid hydrogen at you know, minus 400. Give me a break, people.
No, can you imagine?
Absolutely lost your mind.
Can you imagine what the... there's not a single adventure, what do you call it, the super adventure movies where a gas station blows up.
Right.
You know, can you imagine if it was hydrogen? I mean, you know, seriously.
Florida is off the map.
No, I mean, from the moon, you'll see a little bite out of it.
I mean, there is not an action adventure movie that doesn't have a gas station sometimes
right,
blows up.
Right,
I mean, you know,
right,
when you
right.
think about the Thelma and Louise, you know, the tanker blend, and some of the James, they always. A car can't go off a cliff. Nothing can happen without a bullet. But you take hydrogen kaboom!
That's rocket fuel, folks.
That could cause global warming.
Now here's one, actually.
By radiation.
That's perfect. Everybody drives. I love it. Oh, that's great. Each giant holes in our ozone. Anyways, you know, the Japanese actually have developed a mind control device.
Yeah,
we talked about that last show.
I missed it. All right. They're done that.
Let's see. This is another good one. Hanging mistaken for Halloween decoration.
That's wrong, man.
I saw that.
That's wrong.
And you didn't help? You're going down, mister.
I just thought that. I'm not even going to mention that.
No, that's the time when you do not want to hang yourself with Halloween Day. I would say that's a bad choice.
They found you a few days later.
I thought that was me.
They said, did you hear about the black hole thing?
Yeah.
What was the black hole thing?
Soon to be able to see him? Well.
Yeah, maybe you.
They said,
how do you see a black hole?
That's... Now, are we going to generate an X-rated show?
Right.
X-rated Jimmy Doe?
Yeah, that's only, well, okay.
Yeah, and I didn't think New Orleans was that bad.
No! No!
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
The preceding program.
That's right. Wait, we forgot to tell you. The preceding program was...
That's what they had on the... They did that on The Simpsons, and they said that was the preceding program contained extreme violence that should not have been viewed by young children.
Or anybody.
I like that. We need to get a soundbite for that. I want to use that to close out the Jimmy Doan show.
Here's the my last piece of news, which I thought was pretty good. This is for sale, actually, on somewhere on the internet. Actually, it's at housewithbride.com. Did anybody see that? This woman
is... This is not for real.
This is for real. And check out the babe.
Whoa! Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's now selling...
That's not for real.
No, she is. She's got a couple pictures on there. This is the better of the three, but... So, housewithbride.com, she's selling her home and herself for $600,000.
Whoa, I'm an owner.
It's 0.11 acre plus, 1847 square feet, and guess where it is? Denver, Colorado.
No. Hello. Yes. Somebody's been smoking something out there.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of neat
stuff. She needs the money. Wait a minute. Now, once she sells the house, gets her 600 grand.
You get married first.
Good idea.
Okay. Yeah, I would do that.
Then you can get some of your 600 grand back.
Yeah, then she divorces him and keeps us the house.
Oh, it's the ploy.
You fucking keep the
house. Yeah. Well, it says she's a professional dancer.
Scammer. Oh, I bet. Yeah. Right around that.
No, actually, she's actually some kind of...
Con artist.
Real estate lawyer.
She's a divorce lawyer.
She's 100% Norwegian by heritage. She was born in 1957 in Minnesota.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. My family moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico when I was very young, blah, blah, blah. She
sold into slavery, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Liked it, blah, blah, blah.
After I came back from Hong Kong, and got these bruises off my wrists and ankles. I spent many years working in microelectronics and through a series of serendipitous events, started my own company, and now she designs and manufactures private label jewelry for national retailers. So I guess she knows about jewelry. But you can go to housewithbride.com.
I got it right here. I get to look at this. Carlos sent it in, house for sale, bride included. This is WTKR News, whatever the hell it is. We're just looking at quick shot on the internet.
Wait,
here.
You actually got internet up on our show now?
Hard to believe, but I do. Deborah Hale. Deborah Hale is selling some valuable real estate. She's 48. Well, of course, that she does. I tell you, now, you talk about somebody, they're not going to get her on that Japanese thing, if you believe.
Oh, yeah, they're going to put her at 33 or something.
Well, what I'm saying is, from the picture that she's got here on the website, she doesn't look like she's 48.
No, she's a hot little blonde.
She is definitely hot. I mean, there's no question. Let me just see.
Jimmy, you should give her an email.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I...
Why? We can move the show. You got 600 grand? Come on, you cheap bastard.
Yeah, I can see the next one. Welcome to the G. Jones Show.
We relocated.
Well, they have a picture. They have a picture. Number 30. Yep, 600, 40, 60-year-old man. Yeah, well, pretty much. Okay, I can pass for 60.
If she can pass for 33, you can pass for 60.
No, she's not bad looking. I'll tell you that. It's a good deal. It's on eBay. It's on eBay. Okay, good. eBay's got some... They got some rules about. I bet you that thing's not on eBay right now.
I bet you get pulled.
I got pulled. Yeah, yeah, I'll bet you anything it did. This was on
slavery is not a lawful.
That's not slavery.
It's a willing.
What do you mean? If you sell yourself, that's still slavery.
Well, it's prostitution.
Exactly. Ooh. No. She outlines it in their little thing. She wants to find basically Mr. Right. I mean, it's just a gimmick, but it's in a,
good enough for me.
Yeah, that's what I said. Actually, you should check out her. There's an agency in there. When you say contact her, and man, they got some babes in that agency too. One of them's from Baywatch too.
All right,
yeah.
And Mr. Right,
and you should see the blonde twins.
Oh,
they have
twins
in there.
Is good.
I mean, wow, they're the best looking set of twins I've seen.
The best looking sets
of twins I've seen in a long time.
The twins I like are when the girl lifts up her shirt. Those twins.
Those are my favorite.
Single eyeball twins.
A twin of twins.
Okay. Well, I think about. Are we about done?
Yep. Yeah, we could be.
I think we're about done on this.
You want me to play music?
Yeah. Play music. We're leaving. Jimmy Doan, write us an email at jimmy@jimmydoan.com. No, I was listening to Adam Curry on his podcast, and they said, what about playing the songs that are copyrighted intellectual property? He says, let them sue me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna play until they say something.
More press, baby.
So that's it. So we're doing the same thing.
We're a little luckier.
This guy is.
Well, we have a listener. Virginia Beach is always in there. That. And, no, I haven't heard from Gene recently.
Yeah,
and I don't know what happened to Gene. I guess he was supposed to set up his. He's from Colorado. Is he from Denver?
Yes.
Denver.
No, someplace else.
He moved to Denver. That's why you haven't heard.
That's probably why I haven't heard from him. Yeah,
he's up in the mountains. High
being the operative word. Okay. We'll see you next time.
All right, everybody.
Thank you, EJ. Thank you, Curtis. Thank you, Eric. And send us your email again, jimmy@jimmydoan.com. Want to hear from you.
We love you, America. We love you, America.
Yeah, definitely send us your email.
Dance for us.
We'll give you a shout out.
That's it. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jimmy.
Bye. I'm trying on you. I'm going to do something to you now.